Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Josh Peek, and I have today Mr. Treadaway on the other side. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Looking good, buddy.
Trying to feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. So how's life treating you? I know you've got a new job, and you're back to work, and new challenges, new fun stuff to face.
Yeah, it is. Myrtle Beach area. Obviously, I'm not getting the full extent of what the position is because we're not, you know, fully staffed. I'm working at a resort here in Myrtle Beach as a food and beverage, what they call lead. It's basically a supervisor position.
Yeah.
But normally this time of the year, it's, you know, crazy busy, and I'd be, you know, filling in all over kind of spots. Right now, I'm just trying to find things to do during the day because it's just not busy enough.
Yeah. I'm sure it's affected like the amount of people that have come in and stuff like that, but has it created more work as far as like, you know, extra cleaning and that kind of stuff that you have to be prepared for?
Well, yeah, I mean, for the most part, most of the associates are responsible for that. But yeah, I mean, we've got to keep on, you know, every hour we have to sanitize all the handles and the doorways and anything basically that's touched. We try to sanitize it every hour. Anytime people get up from a table outside, one of the cashiers or whatever go outside and sanitize the table and chairs. So yeah, mm-hmm. And then you know, pool people and activities, they go around and do all the like pool chairs and lawn chairs and stuff. So yeah, it's definitely made for a lot more, you know, work as far as that goes.
Yeah. Well, we were at the beach yesterday. I didn't reach out to you because we were super busy. Our friend Danny Shaw, his birthday was yesterday. No, Greg's birthday was yesterday. His birthday's today. And they just happened to have points with Wyndham Resorts. So we went up to North Myrtle, where Wyndham, I guess, has some condo-type places.
Yeah, I know what that's
at. They bought those little properties that are like individual buildings. And we stayed in one of those at a really good rate or whatever. And she was like, I got these points, and if I don't use them, I'm gonna lose them. And we normally take vacations all the time to use our points, but because of COVID, we've not gone anywhere. And she's like, you guys come and hang out. We're like, okay. So we made a day of it, went down, hung out at the beach, went out to eat at Flying Fish, mm-hmm. and had a really good dinner sitting on the back patio overlooking the inlet. There was three couples, and afterwards we got back to the room. We played left, right, center, and then we played like a trivia game about something to do with logos. I think it's called Logo Trivia.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting. It's a lot of like commercial stuff and pop culture kind of stuff about, you know, what was one of the examples? Like we had some cards are basic logos about anything, and it's random questions about things you may have seen in advertising, but some of them are brand specific. Like we had one brand thing that was like Charmin, and it was like all four questions were something about Charmin, and it's stuff that you may not know or you may know. Like one of them obviously is Mr. Whipple saying, don't squeeze the Charmin was one of them.
Of course, that's gotta be one.
But like the one that stumped everybody was they came out with some kind of wet wipe, and it's like, what was that wet wipe's name? And you're like, I don't remember the name of it. It turns out it was something called Fresh Mates. I was like, oh, okay. But I mean, it was interesting. Like we got to the Jelly Belly one, and I know Jelly Bellies are gummy, you know, little gummies, little beans.
Yeah, the little jelly beans, yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't remember which president had them. It turns out it was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, yeah.
There was something about a sport jelly bean that apparently runners can buy, and they eat those to help give them energy because there's electrolytes and stuff in them. But there was something in there about what's the inside of the, you know, the gushy stuff on the inside or something like that. And the way they phrased it, I came up with some really obscene answers, and that was a lot of fun for everybody. turns out you don't have to have the right answer. You just have to have the fun answer.
That's like your game that you like. What was it? The
Telestrations game?
Yeah, Telestrations.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just like, let's just nosedive into this. We've already gone down the dark path. Let's just make it worse. But yeah, so it was fun. We had a good night hanging out, and this morning got up. Dolores made some fresh biscuits, and then we headed back. We had to be out of there by 10 o'clock, so you know, we came on back. But Greg sending us pictures on Facebook of his pastrami and corned beef. And I was like licking the phone. And then he of course sent us a message, and he's like, I want to be on the podcast and talk about it. And I was like, okay, that's going to be rough. Cause I'm going to be salivating the whole time.
Right. I know.
Yeah. It's like, geez, I don't know what it is, man. He's got a knack for, you know, I guess it's just following the recipe, but it's these really intricate recipes that take time. Because like when I went to visit him during St. Patty's Day a few years ago, he did that corned beef where he brined it in a bucket in a garage for like a week in like beer and sauce and some different kind of spices and onions and garlic and stuff like that. And like, he's like, oh, I got to go stir my meat. I was like, what? He's like, come on here. You can see it. And he lifts the lid off and takes a boating oar and he stirs it around. he's like, mwah-ha-ha-ha. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. I knew from the first mwah-ha, I was like, oh, I'm in. And then when he cooked it, I was amazed at like the outside was perfectly charred and then the inside was like a bright red. And I was like, ooh. And then the first bite, I was like, oh, dude. It's almost like you forget to talk. You're just like, I used to know words.
I was like that with pastrami when he had it. And I'm like, I was looking at it like just salivating. I'm not a huge corned beef guy, but the pastrami looked amazing.
Yeah. Of course, you know, anything like that, I guess because of the spices, it always gives me tremendous gas. So it was a fun time was had by all. I'm like, this is delicious. And all of a sudden my stomach goes, I'm like,
ah. Now everybody's going to see how much I enjoyed it.
I'm apologizing now for what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. Yeah. So anyway, a lot of stuff's been going on lately in the news. And I mean, I'm sure you probably heard the podcast where I talked about the explosion in Beirut.
Has anyone heard anything else more about fireworks?
No, that term was used at one point because I guess somebody thought that they were making fireworks there using that stuff.
Well, I had heard that there was a fireworks plant next door that had an explosion.
Maybe.
Inside. And that caused the explosion next door, which caused the big blow up.
You know, what was really crappy to me was CBS came out with a headline like the next day saying similar materials were found at the Timothy McVeigh bombing in the federal building in Oklahoma. And I'm like, yeah, because that's the same material that exploded. It's fertilizer. I mean, it's
everywhere.
It's not uncommon for people to have that for fertilizer. It's a known fertilizer. But yes, that was the same material. But they tried to spin it as though it was like a planned attack kind of thing.
Media is the worst thing in America right now.
Yeah. And yet the Lebanese government had openly said, we knew about it. It'd been in there for 6 years. You know, we were supposed to move it, that we're not supposed to store that much materials like that in the same place because of the possibility of something like this happening. Someone missed the ball on moving it. They were supposed to move it, but they didn't. They just let it sit there for 6 years and just stockpile. And almost 3,000 tons. Jeez, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
So, I mean, you always hope for like a positive spin on things. It's hard to find a positive spin on the devastation that it did to Beirut. I mean, if you look at it, it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. Yep. And everybody comments about, holy crap, look at the building next to it. And the building next to it looks like, yeah, I'm good. And it's like someone from another world built that building because it ain't moved at all. It's like, now we're good. The rest of the city is flattened, but that building right next to it is just like,
yep,
we'll replace the windows. We're fine. I'm like, crap. I always think about the three little pigs. That pig built his brick house. I'll huff and I'll puff and all. We're good. Thanks. Well,
I think one of the initial things that I read, and again, this is stuff I heard, not stuff I know. Mm-hmm. I think it said something about the fact that it was like 1/5 of the amount of explosion as a little boy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, fat boy. So, I mean, like, it's like 1/5 of what Hiroshima was. And you see how much devastation it did on just on this, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, you know, they dropped 2 of those.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was amazed at that the death toll was as low as it is. But I think that they're claiming it's that low because they're looking for bodies. Right.
That's the bodies they found.
So there's a lot of bodies that are probably vaporized or that are crushed underneath stuff that they're not going to be able to find for quite a while. You know, I also read that it affected their grain supply, that most of their grain supply is kept near there. And now there's a real possibility of them facing famine.
Oh,
not only that, but, you know, over 300,000 people are now homeless. So it's like, you know, at that moment, your life completely changes to, we got to get out of here. Like, I mean, if you live there, why would you stay other right. than maybe you could flourish in the rebuilding process? But really, I mean,
maybe 10% of the population would flourish in the restructure.
If you had a family and kids to take care of, your first reaction would be, we got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it's going to take a long time for them to recover from something like that. It's awful.
Thoughts and prayers for all of them.
Yeah.
So quick, small shift over. Okay. You're usually awake early in the morning. So did you feel a little rumble this morning?
No. Honestly, we were at Myrtle Beach. We'd stayed up till close to 1 o'clock.
What?
Yeah.
You stay up till one?
Oh, my sleep has been bonkers lately. I thought
you turned into a pumpkin at like 11.
Well, here's what happened. So Thursday, I ended up working. I went to Georgetown to work with a driver at 3:30 in the morning. And in about lunchtime, they called me. A guy got hurt in Surfside, and they told me to go have the guy I was with drive me up to him. He hurt his back, and they wanted me to take over the route. He was on stop number 6 of 16 at lunchtime, and we burned through the day, got back. He didn't do anything. He couldn't lift anything. He could barely climb up and down out of the truck. We were short help. They couldn't send anybody to come pick him up, so he just sat in the passenger seat and basically suffered the entire time where I worked. We got back around 6:30 or so, so that was a 15-hour day for me.
Wow.
I came home and, you know, ate, went to bed, got up the next morning at 3:30 and did another 14-hour day going down to Savannah. The good thing was we finally got our air conditioner fixed.
You did get it fixed?
Yeah. We had a guy come, and he was supposed to be here Wednesday, did not come, said he'd be here Thursday, did not come. Friday morning when Dolores got up, she said she could hear him outside, and he had it up and running by around, I don't know, 10 o'clock or so. Okay. So by the time I got home, we had had a window unit in the bedroom. We took it out of that window, and the rest of the house was fine. We turned off those big fans that we had, and I was like, finally, like a breath of relief of, thank God this is finally over. And it's so crazy because, you know, she and I talked about the fact that we both grew up laying in front of a box fan, and we had no air conditioning as kids. And now it's like a little bit of discomfort. You're like, is it hot near to you?
I completely understand. I mean, I grew up, I laid on the floor in the vents of the trailer.
Yeah.
So I could get a little bit of cool air because it wasn't really cold. But if you laid right on top of the vent, you could actually cool yourself off.
Yeah.
And then in my room, I had a fan unit in the window. I didn't have a AC unit. I just took a box fan and stuck it in the window.
Yeah. I mean, we used to take naps in front of the box fan. Like, we would point it on us just so we could sleep because it was so hot. Matter of fact, my grandparents, I remember them getting an attic fan because I think that came out before air conditioning. So they had like, check this out. And they'd flip a switch and these little louvers in the ceiling go, and it sucked the heat up.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, well, that's actually kind of nice. You know, we had windows open with the screens, you know, but it was just like all of a sudden heat came up and you're like, well, that makes sense because heat rises. Yeah.
Right. So you just got to get rid of it.
It made a huge difference. But then when air came out, we're like, oh, dude, this is a game changer.
Oh, yeah. We all agree. AC is probably the greatest invention God ever gave man.
Yeah. I mean, iPhones are pretty dang cool, but man, there's something great about being able to cool off when it's 90 plus degrees outside, you know?
Well, we supposedly got ours fixed. Guy came over last Wednesday, like you were waiting on yours as well. Came up, they fixed it for a little, I mean, it got down, you know, about 74, 75. And then like 2 days later, we turned it, her daughter was upstairs and she wanted to turn it down to like 70 and it won't go. So I called the people and explained to them, hey, you know, it's working, but it's not getting to the temperature it's supposed to get to. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, well, we'll send out another technician and it'll probably be another $50 for the diagnostic. And then I'm like, no. We just paid you $1,800 to fix this thing.
Yeah.
And now you're saying it's not fixed. And you're saying that you didn't do it. You're going to charge us $50 more to come diagnose it when you should have fixed it the first time?
Yeah.
So we canceled the diagnostic check. And Chrissy has a guy that works with her at the restaurant. She's going to have him come look at it and see if it's something they should have fixed already or if it was something different. If it's something they fixed already, then we plan on, you know, calling them and saying, hey, you know, look, you know, that's one check. This is something that you should have fixed the first time.
Not only that, but report them to Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, I mean, it's a national company. It's a 1-hour heat in and air.
Yeah.
So I mean,
not only that, but nowadays you can leave social media reviews on everything, TripAdvisor, and
yeah, I know. I really try my best not to do those because I would make myself a hypocrite because I get so upset about people who do that for restaurants when they don't know what they're doing, and you look back and all they do is complain to try to get free stuff.
Yes, but $1,800 ain't no joke.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why we want to have this guy look at it and see if it's something they should have fixed in that or it was some other problem. And then that's fine if that's the case. But if it's something they should have fixed in the first place, then we're going to have a talk. And then I may actually put a review on. I don't know.
I'll call him again and say, I want to speak to someone's boss because this isn't cool. And I would go up the chain of command and say, all right, you're not helping me. I just paid you $1,800 to fix this and you didn't. So who's the next guy I need to talk to? Let me speak to your manager. If they're a company, they've got managers.
No,
and eventually someone's going to be like, oh, that's not right. I should fix that.
Unless they pull the old pop copy. I am the manager. From the Dave Chappelle skit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I'm out and about doing my job, sometimes someone will say, who's your boss? I was like, oh, here's his phone number. By the way, my name is, and I'll spell it out for him. I said, trust me, I'm doing the right thing. They'll get all fussy about nothing. And I'm like, I understand you're upset. I'm trying to help you fix the problem. But if you don't want to listen, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there like that right now that just want to just complain and write bad reviews. And
yeah,
they want to be angry at somebody.
Well, and I'm not immune to that. I mean, I looked at my own YouTube videos recently. I had people comment because I had made a rant video in the past about UPS. I've made a rant video in the past about Sears. I made a rant video in the past about FedEx because I was unhappy about something. And people go on and the comment that got me kind of tickled was this lady commented. She goes, you need Jesus in your life. And I was like, yes, I do. Thank you. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
I bought during the time when I was on furlough and I've been sitting here for like almost 4 months, I bought a couple really nice like face masks that like have Velcro on the back of the neck so it pulls off the ears. And I bought them in April, like 12th or 13th, something like that. Finally, right before I got called back to work, I sent a letter to the people. Well, first I sent a letter to PayPal and asking, hey, can I get a refund because I haven't gotten these things and it's supposed to have been here, you know, months ago. And they're like, well, unfortunately, you have to get the refund from them and then we can refund it back to you. So I emailed the company and all this. And they're like, well, we're very sorry with logistics and everything, with what's going on in the, you know, the world. You know, things have been delayed. It's like, fine, I understand. But give it 15 more days, and if it hasn't, then contact us back. So I did that. I waited 15 more days. Didn't show up. I contacted them back. And they're like, well, we do apologize. We don't know exactly where it's at, but it is on the way, blah, 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 blah. They say, give us another 15 days. If it's not there, contact us back. And so I waited again. And in that same time, I did it again, and they gave me back the same kind of basic response of, you know, it's not our fault. We don't know where it's at, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote them back that time and I'd just kind of given up at that point. And I told them, yeah, thanks guys for scamming me. I appreciate it. I appreciate, you know, that you did scam me. I said, I will make sure that I don't purchase anything from your company. And I will make sure that anytime I see your company's name come up, I will put a bad review on there. I said that, but not in so many nice words.
Yeah.
2 days ago, they showed up in the mail. So one of two things happened. Either A, they were scamming me, and then when I realized that, you know, they finally sent it out, or B, they did, and it's a global pandemic, and there's just, you know, logistic problems with shipping out across international and all that, which I can understand.
Yeah.
And I need to do a very nice apology email. So
yeah, thank you.
Most likely that's the most likely case.
Yeah.
But well, yeah,
and so I try to be patient, you know, also because I ordered this backdrop thing that I got behind me back in February, and then it didn't show up until May. But February passed, March passed, April passed. I'm like, okay, what the heck, guys? You got my money. Like, where's my product? And I sent them a message and stuff. And then I realized it's probably coming from India, and they probably have it stuck in quarantine somewhere where it's like, they're exposing it to the sun or something weird or whatever.
And that's probably what's going on. That's probably what happened with this. It was stuck in customs or whatever the case may be. But I mean, I did after 4 months, I just kind of decided, okay, this isn't coming. And then all of a sudden after I wrote the email a couple of days, about a week and a half later, that's when it shows up. I'm like, oh, wonderful.
Now I can tell you, I've seen more people wearing masks lately. I know that was a concern that you had, being in the service industry about people coming in without, but I've definitely seen more people wearing them and more people taking responsibility in the restaurant business up front. Whenever people come to the door, they say, I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to have you in unless you have a mask on. I know you're going to come in and sit down and eat, but you know, if you don't have a mask, we can give you one. But you need to have one on when you come in so that you're being safe. And then once you're seated, like you can take it off and then enjoy your meal. And most people are compliant. Every once in a while you'll hear somebody fuss, but like I'm buddies with, Kyle Hardy here in Florence, who's owned several restaurants with his other partners. And he apparently was in Tubbs when he had a customer come in and cuss out a 15-year-old hostess who was trying to seat them down. And he told him, he said, I'm sorry you're upset. This is an ordinance we have to go by. We're going to give you the mask, but you got to wear it from here to there because it's a law. And the guy continued on and he said, listen, I don't mind you fussing at me, but you're not going to cuss out my help. And she's only 15 years old. How about you just go? And apparently they had words and he goes, I don't need your money. Like, I'm okay with losing your business now. You just made me agree that I don't need your business. If this is such a big deal to you that you feel the need to cuss out a 15-year-old, bye. And then he went on Facebook and he talked about it. And I was like, wow. But good for him. I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, it's an ordinance. They got to comply to it. I mean, and he's like, I get it. I'm not happy wearing it. I'm in the back in the kitchen when it's 120 degrees when I'm wearing it.
Yep.
Well, we got to wear it. And I've seen more compliance, I mean, from everybody. So good. I mean, and I'm in the back of the house a lot of times, but I've been surprised seeing a lot of people wearing them like they're supposed to. It didn't happen in the beginning, but it's happened here lately. So,
well, they passed that, South Carolina. Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. The Palmetto protection or something like that. But anyway, all restaurants supposedly are instead of getting DHEC now, because DHEC basically is doing virtual tours.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming in to check unless they get a call that says, hey, you need to go check this place out. But what it is I can't remember exactly what it's called. It's Palmetto Cares or Palmetto something or another.
But, it's the CARES Act. Yeah.
No, it's not the CARES Act. It's something here in the state of South Carolina. It's like Palmetto something or another. Oh. But it's all restaurants are supposed to abide by these certain rules. And if they get a call about, let's say, like employees not wearing a mask or somebody, you know, not enforcing and wearing masks,
mm-hmm.
then they can get a call. And then DHEC can come in and basically take away or give them a sticker that says that they aren't compliant with this South Carolina law and that they recommend that you don't eat here.
Cool.
So that's causing a lot. That's causing a lot of the more of the restaurants. Like my girlfriend, she didn't force her kitchen guys to wear masks because it was so hot back there.
Yeah.
Well, they had the restaurant open for the inside for a little while. And then once they realized that thing passed, she had to start making them wear it because they had like a little window they could see kind of into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And if someone saw that, they could call and say, hey, we saw an employee not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And then they could end up having, you know, a strike against them.
Yeah.
So she's had to start wearing them.
Yeah. And I can't imagine how frustrating it is for parents right now, trying to figure out what to do with their kids, how to keep their kids safe and all this stuff. And
I can't believe they're sending the kids back to school. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, I see both sides. I understand. But I mean, you've got public buildings that you have to make appointments to get into because they don't want public employees getting in trouble and being around like maybe 10, 15 people at the time. And you're sending 30, 40 kids into one room. I think as long as public buildings and officials are doing Zoom calls instead of meeting in public, there should be no reason to send kids back to school.
But imagine us as teenagers. Okay. Now imagine our senior year and you saying you guys can't come within 6 feet of each other. No touching, no blah, blah, blah. First thing I'm doing is hugging you. I don't care. I mean, if I'm a teenager, I'm not thinking about the ordinance. Yeah. I'm listening to the thing saying stay away from people, but it's also, you hear that. And I'm sure as a kid, you think, yeah, I'm going to stay away from those people.
Right.
But my people are fine. Like it's common to just think that way. And I mean, even when this thing broke out, you came over to visit and the first thing we did was hug each other, you know, cause I'm like, I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about those people,
right.
You know, but it's also, that's also kind of how this travels, but it's like, yeah, I get it. But at the same time, it's also that thing of, I don't feel like it applies to me. Like it's, I'm sure everybody feels the same way. Like, yeah, yeah, I get it. Those people that look sickly, I'm going to stay away from those people. But I don't think this applies to me and my friend. Like it's, I don't know.
It's difficult. I understand. I mean, like I didn't have it really affect me.
Yeah.
Until Chrissy had an employee that just started there and only worked one day. She was tested positive.
Yeah.
And so Chrissy had to go get tested. And since Chrissy got tested and we lived together, I went and got tested. We both came back negative. Well, then about 2 weeks later, her daughter, who is, I mean, always sanitizing, washing, trying to disinfect everything, always doing great. She and her boyfriend ended up getting it.
Wow.
And they were up in Greenville and they stayed up there until they got done with it. And they came back here afterwards. And she said she felt sick and nasty and all this, but she doesn't even have a clue. She thinks it might have came from her boyfriend's roommate.
Hmm.
We don't know for sure.
That guy. We're going to call him that guy.
So then again, so then Chrissy went and got tested again because she had been hanging out with her daughter, which again caused me to go get tested again. And I mean, the first time we got tested, it took 3 days to get the results. Mm-hmm. The second time we got tested, took a week to get results. So there's a lot more testing going on, and that's why the numbers are increasing and people don't understand that, is because there's more testing and they're taking longer to test. So like, you know,
well, and then, I mean, CNN just announced today that of a recent place where they did the testing, you know, over 90 of the tests that they came back as positive were false. And it's like, oh crap, you know. And the thing I hear a lot of people talk about it is also like, if you have a positive result, it could be positive for the virus, but it might be dead cells. It might be a dormant thing that's already passed through your body. But if you have the dead cells in your nose, it still comes up as a positive, which is a false positive.
Right. You know,
Joe Rogan in his studio is doing the blood test, which is not FDA approved, but is actually more accurate, where they just, like when you have diabetes, they do the little pinprick thing. Mm-hmm. And then they, apparently they can tell from that within a matter of minutes. And they have a doctor on staff that just goes, yeah, you're good.
Well, I don't know exactly how it goes, but I saw in California, their drive-through little testing, they were doing swabs inside the mouth. They weren't even doing the boost.
Yeah, that's a new way they're doing it, apparently, in some places.
I know the blood test is more about antibodies.
You know, I always try to find a positive spin on things, no matter what. Again, I mean.
Got to. Yeah, I agree.
What is the positive spin on this? Okay, maybe we learn to, as a people, not pick each other's noses. maybe we, as a people, learn to be organized a little better in the coming future if something gets worse. Or maybe we have a more organized system for a pandemic in case something else happens in the future.
Well, now, just to let it know, we did have systems in place
that
would have helped, but our fearless leader decided to disband them before this all started.
Yeah, I heard the conversation. They were like, why did you disband this group? And he goes, we haven't had a pandemic in 100 years. Nobody saw this coming. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of true. We haven't. I mean, not since the Black Plague. And it was like, who saw this
coming? Not like this, but I mean, the pandemic group was set up after the whole H1N1 big worldwide thing during the Obama administration. And I think honestly, that's probably why he got rid of it, was because it was from the Obama administration. I think that's.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I have decided to err on the side of Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, who says, don't leave it to the leaders to tell you how to make your world better. Make your world better within your circles. Politicians are not going to be on your side. They're voting for their side. Do what you think is right. Help your community. Build your community. Do the things that are going to work positively for each other. And through that, we can then change things. And he's absolutely right. That's kind of the thing I've been saying all along. But he just was more eloquent about it. I was like, good for you, dude. I like it. Of course.
No, I agree. I agree. You know,
now The Rock, you know, people joked about, oh, he should run for president. He should run for this. He should run for that. Then he went out and bought the XFL. And I'm like, there's my boy. Yes. He knows showmanship. He knows football. He knows wrestling. I'm telling you, he's going to turn the XFL into the thing that people are going to want to watch.
I believe so as well.
I mean, who wouldn't want to watch something that he owns? Because he's going to make it fun. He's going to be like, let's take the best ideas. Who's got something? Come on, talk to me.
He doesn't need the money. He's got enough money to support it. So
before COVID, they had the XFL going around with the new league that they were doing and the new rules. And apparently they made it a lot of fun. Bert Kreischer had a thing where him and Bill Burr went to a game in Los Angeles. And he was talking about the cool parts about it and the stupid parts about it. He goes, the stupid parts are you can tell the coaches are still trying to get back in the league. So they're still trying to run plays like used to be. He goes, but every once in a while you get a wild card guy who's just like, let's just have fun with this. Let's go for it. You know, and it's like a lot of go for it kind of mentality. But he's like, that's what we want to see. We want to see the fun parts. And he's like, I got suggestions. And him and Bill Burr did the Bill Burr podcast where they talked about it. And he's like, I had this tour coming out, this, you know, for the Hey Big Boy that came out on Netflix back in, I guess, at the beginning of the pandemic in March. And he's like, you know, I was going to like talk to them about a halftime show where, you know, the band comes out, but then I come streaking across and they have to tackle me, but I end up dancing and maybe it's in a Speedo. He goes, I know I can't streak in front of people. But anyway, he goes, he's doing his whole thing. And he's like, but then I can stop in the middle and the band spells out Birdie Boy, you know. And I was like, okay, so stuff like that. I mean, you're going to have different markets where you can do something fun with the crowd to get them into it, you know. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting because if this turns around, which I think it will, he owns now, Dwayne The Rock Johnson owns an entertainment group where basically you don't have to have an audience. We're learning right now. You don't have to have an audience in the stands in order to have a cool thing to watch on TV. And you're going to get more viewership on TV.
In the bubble, man.
It's pretty cool.
I'm watching baseball. I mean,
baseball's cool.
They're putting a little sound in the background to make it sound like there's people there.
Yeah.
And then they've got the screens up. Well, now basketball's got the screens up where you actually see like live people.
Yeah.
But baseball's got the little cardboard cutouts. I saw they put the Dodger one I saw the other day, they had
The Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that might be a little distracting to a pitcher, you know?
I watched the Yankees in Boston play a week ago, and they had in one section, they had a bunch of puppy dogs cutouts, and the guy hit a foul ball. Oh, no, he hit the puppy dog section. Oh, that's going to hurt. I was like, that's kind of cute. But then people are putting up cutouts of different things in the stands, you know, and I'm like, this is kind of fun, I guess. I mean, I'm sure it sucks for the owners of the stadiums who are like, yeah, we kind of need that revenue of the people coming in here. And it does hurt the cities that those are in because then they're not filling any of their hotel rooms,
right, the restaurants, the hotels,
the bars. I mean, that hurts.
It's like what happened with Cleveland when LeBron left, there were a lot of businesses that went under big time.
Yeah, there's an economic turn that happens when that happens. I mean, you got to have that draw. You know, I can't imagine. Well, I mean, The Last Dance we watched on Netflix with, you know, Michael Jordan.
Oh.
The economic draw that he brought to Chicago because they were a sucky basketball team before he got there. And then all of a sudden, they were the team to watch. I mean, they talked about how they were less watched than their hockey team, than their soccer team, their baseball teams, their football teams. They were like last in ratings of all the professional sports in the area before he got there. And then they became the number one sport to watch in their area.
In the world.
In the world. Yeah.
I mean, he became a world icon. I mean, when they went to Barcelona in 92, I think it was, I mean, that changed everything. That changed the whole game.
Yeah.
We have European players like Christoph Porzingis and Hedo Turkoglu and all these guys that have played since then, they would have never been in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that dream team expansion and, you know, during that, the story of Tony Kukoc coming in, you know, was kind of the beginning of the floodgates of, oh yeah, we have talent in other places that can come here. You know, a lot of people don't know Luke Longley played in Australia. I mean, he was like Australia's top player when he came here. But then that also brought in the era of Yao Ming. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, these guys.
Well, Hakeem was here already, but
Hakeem was here, but
I get you. Well, just like we got this kid Luka now. I don't know if you're watching this kid Luka Doncic or not. Mm-mm. In Dallas. He's amazing. Absolutely amazing. He to me might be the future of the NBA.
Really?
If you get a chance, just Google him, YouTube, whatever. Luka Doncic, he's playing for the Dallas Mavericks. He's basically kind of taken over where Dirk Nowitzki kind of, you know, left it.
Yeah.
He's taking it to a whole nother level. What's happening is we've got so many kids that are starting young now playing the game. Mm-hmm. And they're getting their ball handling skills and they're being point guards. And then they grow, you know, over their junior, senior high school years, and they turn into like LeBron. LeBron could be a point guard.
Yeah.
Well, this kid is basically a point guard, but in a power forward body.
Okay.
Just like LeBron. I mean, he's got, I think, 13 triple doubles where he scored at least 30 points.
Well, a lot of people want to compare LeBron to Michael when the real comparison is him to Magic.
Right.
Because I think they play a very similar game. Well. Yeah. They're really good at passing. They're really good at, you know, the managing the play of the game and maneuvering people where they need to be and that kind of stuff. More like
right. The only comparison to Jordan in our lifetime would be Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was pretty darn close, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
pretty close.
I'm sure you've seen the YouTube videos where they show them side by side.
Yeah, similar movements. I mean, similar. They had the similar everything from Jordan. They were the same height, about the same weight.
Yep.
I mean, and they were really good friends. I mean, they talk about it in The Last Dance about how they worked together a lot. And Kobe looked up to him and asked him advice. And he was like, yeah, I'll help you. You know, and they worked
together. Yeah, when he did the speech at Kobe's, you know, funeral, and he's like, he told his wife he wasn't going to cry because he didn't want to do another crying meme. But he just couldn't help it because they had grown that close.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
By the way, on a switch, I see you drinking your Leinenkugel. Did you research the Leinenkugel pellets?
No, I didn't. I'm staying away from the Traeger pellets right now because of the Gorilla Grill and the pellets that I'm using right now. I bought $100 worth of pellets.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Well, I forgot about the $100. I forgot about the 100 pounds of pellets.
Not only that, but these pellets from Gorilla Grills are. They're a darker wood and they're longer. And to me, they help burn better. To me, they burn better than the Traeger pellets. The Traeger pellets were kind of small and broken up and a lighter color. The lady I talked to on the phone at the consumer, the customer service or whatever, she said, you know, they use an Adler wood, which is a hotter, faster burning wood than the woods we use. She's like, you know, it'll handle it, but it's not really made for it. It's made more for our pellets that just burn a little lower at a you know, longer heat at a lower temperature. and I like these pellets. I mean, when I went to dump a bag, I was concerned over sawdust. So I was using like a cat litter strainer thing and shaking it. I went through the whole bag and hardly found any sawdust in the entire bag. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this is what I need to stick with for a while.
I need to speak to you about which ones you got because I bought, you know, again, my fault. I didn't pay attention to where I bought them from. I found a 220 pound bag, like lot, mm-hmm. and it was a good price. So I bought it because it was Pit Boss.
Yeah.
Turned out it came from Walmart and it was awful.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I tried the cat litter thing like you had.
Yeah.
That was awful. I had to actually go get an actual, I took the salad spinner.
Yeah.
And I took the strainer out of the salad spinner.
Oh, wow.
And I had to use that to actually sift it because there was so much sawdust in both those bags.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, the bad part is they don't sell it through Amazon, which I like buying my stuff through Amazon because it's so convenient. Shout out to Jeff Bezos. If you ever want to be on the podcast, I'll have you on.
yeah, he just made $8,000 for you saying that.
I just want to tell him, you know, if he wants to be on the podcast, I'll be happy to have him on. He could be my new best friend. I'll trade in guys. I'll be like, you know, all right, you didn't make the roster this year. Sorry, buddy. Jeff! Anyway, totally kidding. Not really.
Okay, Jeff Bezos or Bert Kreischer?
Oh, God.
Or Elon Musk or Joe Rogan?
Oh.
You get a twofer.
I get a twofer?
You get a twofer. Two out of four.
Oh, God. I can't judge. I can't. Well, I mean, I'm going to use Amazon regardless, period. I mean, it's not like I'm not going to use Amazon.
Everyone has to. It's at this point, we're almost to the point where it's a necessity.
I'm going to continue to listen to the Joe Rogan podcast and Bert's podcast, and I'm going to continue to go to Bert's comedy shows. So, I mean, that's all in. I think that Elon's too busy to hang out Although he's probably the smartest of all of them. It's pretty cool that Joe and him are buddies now. And he's probably familiar with Bezos, I'm sure, in some way. But now he's too busy trying to put people on Mars to hang out. He'd be fun to talk to for a little while, but I think Joe and Bert would be the best conversations. So Joe and Bert.
Okay. And then, of course, by getting Joe, you probably get Bezos and...
No, not necessarily. But I don't know that I'd want that. Like, okay, so here's the thing. There used to be a question of if you could eat dinner with a celebrity or with your, you know, top five celebrities, who would it be? And of course, when I was young, it was people like Michael Jordan, Eddie Vedder. You know, you'd have like an actor that you wanted to have in there. And then someone would always be holier than thou. And they go, I'd really want to have dinner with Jesus. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about those people. And it's like, you're giving your popular answers and there's someone really thinking about it. Like maybe Nietzsche. And I'm like,
you know that. Yeah.
Who invited you? Why are you in this conversation? Jesus, Nietzsche, really? How do you know he speaks English? You know, but but in this fun fictional game, you bring up these people, and then since then, I've thought about it, and I thought, okay, but let's say I were to sit down and be able to talk to them and have dinner or whatever. What could I say that would be interesting at all?
I know I couldn't have anything.
So, if you ever realize, like when you watch these shows or whatever, and people, you know, celebrities walk past fans. They all lose their minds. Oh my God. Okay. But then what? Like give them, like say you're that person. What kind of conversation would you like to have? I mean, past the point of saying, thank you for entertaining me. Thank you for being so much fun to watch. I think you're awesome. Okay. Now what? That was a minute or less than a minute of a conversation. Have something else to say. Hey, would you like to be on the podcast? Would you like to talk about aliens? Would you like to talk about the possibility of time travel? Would you, you know, let's get weird. Let's get funky. Let's have a good time, you know, but what would you want to talk about? I mean, really, I mean, let's say that Jerry Rice come to hang out at your house. Could you have a conversation with Jerry Rice for more than 30 minutes where you're not just, you know, being a fanboy and geeking out?
I would like to think I could, but I probably couldn't.
Right.
I mean, to be perfectly honest. I'd like to think I could talk to him about something, but I think I would probably just fanboy out.
Yeah. I mean, but they're just people. Like, yes, they had amazing ability. Yes, they were entertaining us with the sport that they played. Or if it's a, you know, musician like Eddie Vedder or something like that. Okay, cool. It's nice to meet you. Okay, now what? Like, that's one of the perks of being able to hear these celebrities on Joe's platform. Is you get to hear him how I have a conversation because he's going to make a 3-hour podcast whether you're on board or not. He'll talk about aliens and hunting and jujitsu, and you better come up with something to keep up with him because he's going to keep talking. So we as people basically have to make our conversation skills better. We have to come up with our own stuff to say. I'm listening to the 4-hour one he did with Post Malone. I don't know who Post Malone is. Like, I know he's the guy with the face tattoos and he uses auto-tune to sing. That's all I know. I couldn't name a single one of his songs. Yet when it's on, my wife goes, this is Post Malone. I go, oh, I can't, even listening to that, I can't tell you a single song that he's sang. Plus, when you listen to it, because it's through autotune, you can only pick out like maybe 5 words that you can actually make out what he's saying. It's a cool song, I guess. It's something to have on in the background. And I could see how certain people are like, this is my jam. I mean, you know, there's lots of those out there.
Oh, yeah.
But the podcast makes him a real person. Them having a 4-hour conversation where he's sleep deprived and they're getting high and they're talking about aliens and abductions and, you know, the possibility of being visited and time travel and craziness like that. And every once in a while he breaks into a thing of talking like Brad Pitt in the movie 7. What's in the box, man? What's in the box? It's hilarious. They're cracking each other up. They're making each other laugh. And I'm like, okay, now he's a person. Before, he was just like a character, like a cartoon character.
He humanized him.
Yeah. I mean, I just saw on the preview thing, there's a new one up with Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe's a pretty interesting character. I mean, he's been like a movie star most of our lives. But there was a time where he was in trouble for having sex with an underage girl. And it was like, oh, my God. And then he made a comeback. Then he did the Austin Power movies and was really funny. And then he just kept doing shows and TV and stuff like that. And every step of the way, you're like, God, this guy must be an alien because he does not age at all. And if he does age, he just looks better every year. I mean, what crazy genetics does this dude have? But they did a 3-hour podcast. I'm going to have to listen to that now because I don't know. Like if I saw him in public, I'd be like, hello. Hey, man. And that's it. That's the extent of my conversation. I don't know nothing about him other than I dug you on Austin Powers. Number two. I wanted freaking lasers on the sharks. Why can't I get lasers on the sharks' heads? You know.
But,
I don't know.
All right. So swinging real quick. So the Umbrella Academy 2, did you finish it?
I did. Loved it.
Did you love it?
I loved everything about it. I realized watching season 2 that season 1 was such a blur of an introduction, and season 2 allowed all the characters to grow in a different way that I thought was great.
I completely agree. The season 2, the character growth was amazing.
The guy who plays Klaus should get an award.
Trying to figure out who was what, you know?
Yeah.
They knew what powers they had, but they didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
They actually came out more about who they were character-wise versus their powers.
The story arc of Klaus, because of his time travel and going to Vietnam and falling in love and then coming back, and he's war-torn, but he's also trying to figure out what to do now, and that story arc is incredible. And if you watch the second season, you want to go back and watch the first season again so you could relive that again, because it was like time travel is one of those things that is a fantasy for a lot of people, but it also opens up possibilities of all of the what if questions you have in your brain. What if I could stop the killing of JFK? What if I could, you know, be there whenever Guantanamo Bay starts off? What if I could be there to see the first man on the moon? You know, it does play into that fantasy idea. And then it also has that butterfly effect question of what is my involvement here? How am I interrupting the timeline? Which I thought they did a great job of.
In the end, setting up for season 3, that's exactly what I think they're doing. Yeah. And I think it's beautiful because I looked at Chrissy and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great, because then you're going to really realize. Because, I mean, they didn't do a lot to change everything, but they did change quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have mass effect.
Well, and they found that girl, which they realized is another one of them.
Right.
And they go, wait, how many more are there? That's a big question. How many more are there? I mean, this guy found 7 of them.
Right. Well, that's just like the second season for The Boys. Have you seen the trailer, right?
Yeah.
They got a whole bunch more suits.
It's going to be fun. I like it. Yeah. I'm on board.
September 4th.
I thought it was the same time. And Amazon started doing it. And I was like, oh, it's the same weekend. Come on.
Because when you said that on your podcast, I got excited. And at the same time, I got upset because I'm like, I don't know which one to watch first.
Yeah.
And then I looked for it and I realized that The Boys wasn't until September 4th. And then, of course, October, we've got Mandalorian too.
Yeah.
So some good stuff coming. Now, real quick, one last thing. I got to get ready to go to work. I do apologize for cutting short. Hopefully, Greg will call in a few minutes. But did you see the dessert that Greg made for his birthday?
Yeah, that was bonkers.
That was, I mean, I'm not a sweets guy, obviously, but that just looked, I mean, it hurt my teeth looking at it.
You know, every year he posts something like that around his birthday, and it's always more. Like, everything is more than it was the year before. And all I could picture is Wilford Brimley going, diabetes. My friends would like to talk to you about diabetes. I lost my leg to diabetes. It's like, ah! Patrice O'Neill. I mean, I'm picturing him at the Charlie Sheen roast and Amy Schumer going, keep it up, Patrice. About to lose a leg soon, aren't you? I was like, soon there. Kind of true, but it's like,
ah. Well, yeah, so I saw that, and then I also noticed that Wes posted about possibly, the kind of yearly
the camper. Yeah.
And nobody said anything. And I was on my way home and chime in. Oh, it's crickets, because they're thinking about the fact that I have to sleep with me inside of an RV.
Okay. True. Yeah. That's true. That was my thought.
I knew that was the first thought.
I was thinking, I can't reply right now. I got to think about this.
And I said, when I saw the crickets for about 7 hours, I was like, I know exactly what they're thinking about.
I've never taken Ambien, but I'm thinking
the giant and the dragon.
I've never taken Ambien, but now I'm considering it. Maybe there's an Airbnb nearby. I don't know. Maybe he has a pop-up tent. I mean, Greg hasn't replied. Greg's like,
yeah, he's not making any comments on that one either.
Of course, he hasn't replied to the group message, which he was like, I'm on, you know. Well, like we said, he probably had a fun time at his birthday party.
He's probably recovering a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's good for him.
This morning, he's probably looking at his phone going, these idiots. I'm not doing that. I was going to do it, but I'm not doing that right now. Yeah.
So, well, hey, again, it's always great to talk to you. Great to see you.
Yeah, buddy.
Unfortunately, I got to get ready for work and finish up. But hopefully we can do this again sometime. I can any time in the mornings. Right now, normally I don't go to work till 2:30.
Okay.
When I do work, so anytime you know you want to do an early podcast, whatever, let me know ahead of time. I can always try to go to bed a little earlier and try to get up for something like this.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right,
dude. Guys,
be Take good. Care. Be good to each other. Okay. Love you, brother.
Love you, dude.
Peace.
And that's it. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Stuff I Heard podcast. We're going to log off now. And if Greg comes on, we'll do another one. And as always, cue the cow.